KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
And we're very grateful to have Jake Shimabukuro in the building. Welcome to KHUM. Welcome to Humboldt.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
I should say welcome back to Humboldt.
Yes.
Yeah, You played Arcata last year, a couple years ago?
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like, maybe 3 years ago, I think. At least 3 years ago, right?
Yeah. I still see the echoes of that show on Facebook. People are like, oh, he's coming back. You remember that one time? So we are going to talk about the instrument and your sort of ambassadorship of the uk. But let's start with some music.
Oh, sure. Well, let's see. I just released a new album, and so I'd like to play something for the new record. This is off of the Grand Ukulele record, and it's called More Ukulele. Ha!
To have you here.
Thank you very much.
We've been a fan of your music for, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years.
Wow. Thank you.
Let's talk about the instrument itself. And then I want to ask you some questions about who you are. But the instrument, the ukulele, you got basically two octaves. Mm-hmm. You've got no low end, maybe a little bit of low end, not a lot of bass in there. And only four strings that provides a somewhat restricted palette in terms of complicated chords. How is this not a limitation?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, I I mean, you're right. There are a lot of limitations to this instrument. You know, you basically have four strings. Your what makes the instrument unique is the tuning. Because when you start with the first string or the string that's closest to the floor, you have an A, and then it drops down to an E, and then a C. Or this is like middle C on the piano. So if you were to hit middle C on the piano, it's like this note here. And then for the fourth string, you would think that it would drop lower, right? But it actually goes up a fifth to a high G. So you have your two low strings in the middle and your two high strings on the outside. So it's kind of a weird tuning, but because of that, you have less notes to work with, because now your lowest note is the third string, and then you have to work your way up from there. So you have a C, or middle C is your lowest note, then you have a C above that, and then you have another C way above that on the first string. So you basically have this, you know, these two octaves to work with, and that is a limiting range. But if you think about all the instruments out there, you know, they all have their own limitations. For example, think of the saxophone. You know, the saxophone probably has a range that's more than two octaves, but you can only play one note at a time. So to me, that's a tremendous limitation, right? You can never play a chord, right? You could only play an arpeggio of a chord, but you couldn't play just a chord. You couldn't do this on a saxophone. You would need three other guys to play with you.
A horn section,
Yeah, a horn section. If you think of the piano, yeah, the piano, you have this incredible range, but think of how portable is the piano?
Right.
So to me, that's another limitation. You know, you can't just take the piano with you to the beach and practice at the beach under a coconut tree or something, you know. But with the ukulele, I think, yeah, definitely the range is very limiting. But at the same time, you know, it's a very portable instrument. You can take it with you anywhere. And if you're a songwriter, you can go hike up a mountain for an hour and it just throw it over your back, and it doesn't weigh a thing, you know. And you get up there and you can strum a few songs, write some music, but what I also love about it is, because I don't have a lot of notes to work with, it forces me to expand on the other aspects of music. Like, now I really have to think about tone color. Now I really have to think about dynamics. And, you know, all of these other things that make music magical. You know, it's not just about the notes, but it's about how you play those notes and the kind of conviction that you put behind those notes, I think, is important. And when you have less notes to work with, then you have to develop those other things.
Well, and also you hear people from, you know, in sort of limited, this will sound really biased, but like musically limited genres, like blues, it's a three chord form, right? Or punk, which is sometimes a one chord form. You know, in these things, they say there's freedom in the form because, you know, the structure is kind of there. There's only so much you can do. So you have to, like you say, tunnel into the stuff that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And a pianist might not get to do that. And they certainly can't carry a piano up to a mountaintop, like you said. And it's also, could you talk a little bit about just the accessibility? And it's the least, as you said, the least intimidating instrument ever, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. It's I see it as the underdog of all instruments. You know, it's one of those things. And but it just, there's something about it, and I can't really put my finger on it, but it just makes people smile. It makes people happy, you know. And whether you, I mean, sometimes you just say ukulele and it makes you smile. I mean, you don't even have to play it. But when you pick it up and you start strumming it, you're like, oh, I can do that. And it's that's what I think is amazing about it, is because people, they're not intimidated by it. And I love that, because I wish every instrument was like that. I wish everyone said like, oh yeah, the violin, oh, it looks so easy, I want to learn how to play it, right? It's not like, you know, you don't have to become the next Paganini on the violin, but just to have the, I think just to develop that ability or the skills to make music is so important, you know, because we've all heard the term, you know, the phrase music is the universal language, right? But I like to flip it and tell people that, you know, music is the language of the universe. And we all were born to speak that language, because it's basically the language of human expression. or human emotion, I should say. It's the language of human emotion, and that's why I think every culture and no matter where you go, anywhere in the world, they have some form of music, and we can all relate to music because it's just the language of human emotion. So, doesn't matter where you go in this world, right? We all feel the same things. We all feel happy, sad, we get angry, you know, and all that. But you know, so music is just the purest form of expression of those emotions. And I think that's why we can all relate to it.
But the ook certainly occupies, if there's a manic depression to music and you've got your angry drummers, right, who just need to hit stuff, you are on the far happier side of that spectrum. I mean, and by the way, Jake Shimabukuro plays tonight at the Arkley Center. This is a 7:30 show, I believe. You can get tickets over at khum.com. Let's do another song, but I want to get one of these questions in because we have a Montessori school listening. They have a ukulele band there.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, ukulele band there.
Yes.
And this was, they had a bunch of questions, but here is one of them. How many chords do you know, and what is your favorite chord?
I don't know how many chords I know, but my favorite chord is probably the C major chord because it's the first chord that I learned on the ukulele, and it's so easy to play. It requires one finger on your left hand, and then all you do is just strum the four strings, and it sounds like this, and it's such a happy sound. And so I guess that would be my favorite chord.
Radio listeners, you can't see it, but he's making a very angry scowl when he's playing.
Oh yeah, so angry.
And for the kids who are listening, you were a ferocious youngster when you picked the instrument up. Like, my understanding is that your parents would have to say, "Stop playing ook, come down and eat," and then finish your homework and then go back and play some more ook.
Oh, yeah. I would play all the time. And that was just the thing. I mean, my parents, they never had to force me to practice. You know, they would actually have to take the instrument away from me so that I would, you know, take care of my other responsibilities. But that's how much I adored this instrument. They wouldn't let me take it to school. So after school, I would rush home just so I could play it. And I never thought of it as practice. I didn't think like, oh, I want to be a good ukulele player, so I want to go home and practice so I can be better. It was just, I just wanted to go home so I could play. You know, I mean, that was it. Yeah.
Everybody should know that feeling. If it's not in music, they should know it was something. But that you have this gift is so awesome, and that you share it with people. Can you play us another song?
Sure. All right. Here's the mellow side of the instrument, and. This is another one off the new record, and it's a song called Missing Three. And I wrote this song completely by accident. See, I was changing my ukulele strings one day, and I was missing the third string. So I just put the first, second, and fourth string on, and I thought, wouldn't it be cool to write a song with just three strings? So I wrote this piece, and it goes something like this. Here we go. The three-string song. Thank you.
so you said, this four-string instrument, that's one string too many. So, do you owe a lot to YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I owe a lot to the person who put the video up on YouTube.
No doubt.
Yeah.
11.5 million hits as of this morning on you playing While My Guitar Gently Weeps in Central Park back in 2006. Now, you have since played for, you've played with Jimmy Buffett. You've played with Yo-Yo Ma, and you found yourself, in basketball arenas playing your instrument. Is there a way to separate you from it?
I've always been, well, one of my childhood heroes was always was Bruce Lee, and I embraced his philosophy. In martial arts, I really believe that, like, because for him, he was really into this whole idea of mixed martial arts, and to him, martial arts was just a form of human expression. So I really bought into that whole idea. And so even with music, you know, I believe that it doesn't matter what you play, you know, if it's the guitar, the piano, if you're a singer, you know, music, the music that comes out is just, it's just a form of human expression. So then if you think of it that way, then the instrument is just an illusion, right? And sometimes when I do workshops, I like to tell people that, you know, like, hey, the instrument is just an illusion. You know, don't look at the instrument and put too much into the instrument, you know, because the instrument isn't making the sound. You know, it's you. Like I tell people, like, before you play every chord or you hit every note, you know, you need to create that first inside of you before it even gets to the instrument, right? And so I guess for me, you know, it's really becoming one with not just the instrument, but with everything. You know, your physical body, you know, your emotions, just mentally, you know, spiritually. I mean, everything around you. It's just about taking all of that and being as sensitive as you can, you know. And I think that's what it's all about. It's just about, it's really, the more open you can be, you know, then the more I think the music will be just, you know, be just be pure. Yeah, I think it's when we start worrying too much about things, or if we start stressing out, or if we have things that we don't want to share, or we feel like we need to hold things back, and I think that's when that's when, you know, you feel like, oh, everything's not coming out, you know, the way that's supposed to be. So, you know, like I said, like, you know, before, like, I believe music is just the language of human emotion. And so when we express emotion, you know, that, like, when we see a very talented actor on screen and they're able to just hone into that emotion and just let it go on stage or you know, on camera, and you know, and it's so powerful, it's like, wow, you know. Or if you just see someone break down in front of you, you know, they just not worrying about what anyone else around them is thinking, but they lose it, and it becomes so powerful and so striking because it's just raw, and we know it's real and honest, you know. I think that's how music should be, you know. Music should be like that. It should just be, you get into this character and you commit to this one emotion or this expression, and you just put everything you can into it, and you just go for it. You commit to it from the beginning of that song to the very end.
I like hearing you use the word instrument the way, like, a doctor would talk about the scalpel. Like, just because you can suture up a patient real good doesn't mean they're necessarily healing. It's the end, you know, the instrument is just a stop on, you know, on the way to the final destination, which is, I think you really added, you know, aptly put it, it's the emotion, and, you know, that's what music does. It's the shortcut to stuff that we can't get to with other tools. Do you play other instruments?
Horribly.
Yeah, what else?
I'd love
to hear you play something.
Yeah. I know a few chords on the guitar, and I did take piano lessons as a kid. I still can't play a song to this day, though. But it's a great writing tool for me. I use the piano to sometimes get ideas and to compose melodies and things like that. And then, And then when I was in high school, I played in the marching band and I played drums, marching band. And that's where a lot of my strumming ideas come from, is from, you know, I remember being on the drum line and, you know, doing things like... You know, that kind of stuff. It's just, it's, I remember playing those patterns and just, and it was just, I just thought it was like the coolest thing. And I was like, how can I incorporate some of that into my ukulele playing? And that's how I developed a lot of my right hand technique. And
let's do another song, Jake Shimabukuro.
Sure. Well, we were talking about the YouTube video earlier. So here's George Harrison's While My Guitar Gently Weeps. This is actually what I played on that video.
Jake Shimabukuro, look, thanks again for being here.
Oh, thank you very much. No, I'm having a blast.
So are we. He's playing tonight at the Arkley Center. You can buy tickets online at khum.com. What happens at your shows? I mean, I have seen you. I know what happens. Yeah, I'm asking you.
Well, you know, tonight's going to be, like most of this tour, it's been solo ukulele performance. So it's just me there on stage by myself. And but, you know, we have a... one of the things that's new actually this time around with this album It's called the Grand Ukulele Tour. So we have a full production crew, and we're actually touring on a bus. I actually have my it's my first bus tour. So we have a full bus and a 7-man crew. So we bring we have our own lighting now and audio, and I mean I never dreamed that, you know, I'd be doing this like being a real touring musician now, and it's fantastic, you know. I mean, I love it. It feels like a show now. It feels like a real concert, you know. And because when I first started touring, I would just come in and just plug into a DI box and just play songs. It was very casual, you know, just introduce each song. And but now it's nice, you know. You can kind of you have a little bit more, there are more variables. So you have more things to work with, you know, like lighting and sound. And it makes a big difference, because now artistically you can create something more visual and you know, like I was talking about the emotion, you know, the emotion in the music. So, you know, setting the lighting and getting the mood across is, you know, it's I think it's a lot more powerful now.
So you write a lot of songs, a lot of pieces, but you also cover from time to time. Mm.
Love covering. Yeah,
Bohemian Rhapsody. Like I was on the air the other day listening to that song going, I can't even imagine what you were thinking when you said, oh yeah, I could take that on. There's this huge, huge chorus of voices, you know, 9 guitars, bass, drums, all of that. And you're like, yeah, I can do that on the ook. So how do you decide?
You know, when I think of covering the song of another artist, you know, it's just like wearing your favorite basketball player's jersey. You know, it's just a celebration of your love and admiration for this athlete or human being, and so the songs that I cover, they're usually written by people or played by artists that I absolutely love. I mean, in the past, like Freddie Mercury, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody. Now that one though, that was when I first decided to take that one on, I wasn't sure if it would be possible. You know, I mean, of course, I knew that I would be able to make it somewhat recognizable, so I could play it where people would say, "Oh, that's Bohemian Rhapsody." You know, but it's not just about playing the right melody or the right notes or the right chords. You know, I mean, there's so much more to covering a song than that, right? So, so it was really, I just wasn't sure if I was going to be able to capture the spirit and the essence of the tune, because that song, I mean, from beginning to end, you know, it just tells this incredible story and it takes you on this journey. And to play it, you almost have to have multiple personalities. You have to be like a chameleon, because you have to go through all of these different emotions, you know, to the end of the song. I mean, you have the, you know, the opening is just very, very dreamy. Very dramatic, you know. You know, and then you have to become the, you know, the ballad, you know, the piano ballad. And then Freddie Mercury's voice comes in here. Very lyrical, right? And then you go through all that, and then now you have to become almost comical, right? You know, like all of these things. I'm telling you, even that one part, that thunderbolts and lightning. That took me days to just find the right voicing for that, because there's just so much going on in just thunderbolts and lightning, very, very frightening. Just that, you know, just that one section, if you really listen carefully to that one section, I mean, you have bass lines going this way, vocal lines going this way, and I mean, just it's so crazy. And you can't, and it took me a long time to decide what line was the actual melody, you know, because they all just kind of work together. There's this synergy that happens. And if you take away any of those lines, then it's almost like, oh, something's missing. So, I mean, just that's you know, just that one part took me forever to find the right voicings where I felt like, okay, yeah, I think I feel good about this, you know. And then after you go through all of that, right, you know, Galileo and all that, and then you have to become the rock guy, you know. You go through this whole thing, and whenever I play it every night, you know, at every show, but that's the one song that when I play, like, I don't even look up at the audience, and I just have to focus on, you know, on every transition and trying to really, really make that song sing, you know, because I think one of the things that people don't realize, because when you listen to it, it's this huge bombastic piece. I mean, it's a monster of a piece, but I think sometimes we forget how beautiful the song really is, and that's one of the things that I hope to achieve, you know, with my rendition, is to, you know, because it's just a solo ukulele piece, it's going to be simplified, of course, so to simplify it down to just the bare melody, you know, with a little bit of support, you know, from the other strings, but bringing out that melody, you know, that gorgeous melody. I think you know, sometimes we get so I mean, because the song is such a monster, you know, we forget, you know, that just that single line melody is just so pure and so beautiful, and I think, you know, Freddie Mercury was just a genius.
For one thing, Jake Shimabukuro, just the technical side of that, you know, like you said, the voicings of those chords. I mean, those are rich chords. You've got, I don't know, probably chord names like B augmented 13 that would create, you know, it would take 12 fingers on a piano just to make that chord, and you have four strings to do it. So you are choosing your battles in terms of deconstructing the most important parts of it. But I will never be able to hear that song again after what you just said. That is bonkers. Well, let's do a piece of music, and then we got time for a few more questions and maybe another song. Okay, you're playing tonight at the Arkley. Everybody should go.
Sounds good. All right. Well, but here's one of my. This is you know, let's going back to, I guess, the roots of this instrument. Here's my favorite traditional Hawaiian piece. It's a song entitled Akaka Falls, and I actually recorded this on this new record. And I gotta tell you, this new record, it was so much fun, because it was produced and engineered by one of my heroes, you know, the great Alan Parsons. And so working with Alan on this album was just extraordinary, because, you know, I mean, he's worked with the Beatles, he did Dark Side of the Moon,
and he sought you out. He needed your number.
He came to two of my shows in California, and one in Santa Cruz and one in Santa Barbara, and it was a Santa Barbara show that we went out to dinner before the show, and he just told me, he said, hey, you know, I love your stuff, and if you're interested, I would love to produce your next record. And I nearly choked on my sushi. I mean, I was like, can I get that in writing right now?
Where do I sign, Alan Parsons?
Yeah, and it was, but you know, he was very sincere. I mean, you know, I mean, we have a record out now, so it was just amazing. But you know, when we talked about doing the record, he was like, you know, how about a Hawaiian piece? And so we recorded this actually with a string quartet, and it was such a great, just, I don't know, I just loved working with that guy. I was just awestruck the whole time. Yeah. All right, here we go. Here's Akaka Falls.
Shimabukuro here in the studio. A lot of musicians who are closely associated with their instrument will come at that instrument almost from an adversarial standpoint. Like, they might play the dobro and they say, look, everybody thinks dobro's for country music, but I'm gonna blow the lid off it and play punk rock with it. You seem to be totally at ease with the ook. Like, you seem to be, you're not fighting the tradition of it. You're not inventing, you know, crazy new, you know, you're not playing it behind your head necessarily, although maybe if you do that, that's fun. But, you know, you're not setting it on fire at shows. Like, you seem to be at a point where you are completely fine with how the instrument is played traditionally. Is that an accurate statement?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, whenever I'm back home in Hawaii, I mean, that's the music that I play. When I get together with friends, you know, we all sit around and you know, we play. I mean, it's just all traditional Hawaiian music. I mean, that's what I grew up playing. That's what I grew up listening to. And I mean, I still think it's some of the most beautiful music in the world, you know. So, I mean, I definitely embrace, I embrace and respect that side of the instrument. And I always, you know, one of the, I always believe that you know, like when you talk about tradition, you know, being traditional versus being, you know, tradition versus, you know, innovation, right? I mean, you really can't have one without the other. If you think about it, like, you know, I mean, with every genre of music or with every instrument, you know, at one point, you know, what we think of as traditional was once very, was very innovative at one point. You know, I mean, I truly believe like all the things that I'm doing today, you know, 30 years from now, people are like, oh yeah, it's traditional. That's traditional ukulele music. Right. You know, everyone's doing this now. Right. And so I believe in, I believe that when you play an instrument, you know, you always have to respect the where the instrument came from, you know, the roots of that instrument, because it's a big part of the culture and it's a big part of just, you know, just the history of that instrument. And I think if you're comfortable with embracing that, then you know, you can you'll have a much stronger foundation, I think, to base, you know, what you do. Because I think, like, for me, you know, like, I can play all this stuff, but sometimes at the concerts, at the end of the night, when I go back to playing a traditional Hawaiian piece, you know, just, you know, and, or just doing, like Akaka Falls, it just, there's just so much meaning behind it. It's almost like if you, if Picasso was still alive today, right, and he paints all this amazing stuff, but then he just sat down one day and just, you know, did a little sketch of this room, you know, something that every artist starts off doing, but when he does it, you know, it's just like, whoa, right? It just takes your breath away, because it's like just going back to the basic, you know, the basics, just a number two pencil and maybe a post-it, you know, and he just like sketches this little thing for you. And it's like, oh my goodness, it's incredible. And I think that's why, you know, with the ukulele, it's important for me to really embrace that side of the instrument, because yeah, it's great, you know, doing like the Bohemian Rhapsody or like doing a rock tune with some distortion, ukulele and all that. But then just going back to something like Akaka Falls, I think brings it full circle.
I could seriously see you walking around Times Square with like one of those sandwich boards that the evangelicals have that say like, you should play ook. Is that, I mean, you seem that into it.
Yeah, no, I love it. I'm a big fan of this instrument. That's why I'm so thrilled to see it gaining so much popularity now. I mean, it's a thrilling time for the ukulele. I mean, I'm just excited. I definitely want, I can't wait to see where it's going to go from here, you know, 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line. And I just watching people like Eddie Vedder. I mean, I was just so appreciative that people like Eddie Vedder, you know, even Paul McCartney started playing it on his
George
tour.
Harrison,
yeah. Well, George Harrison was like, you know, he was one of the biggest, you know, ambassadors of this instrument. Right. Then you have, you know, people like Iz, who already passed away, but his version of Over the Rainbow turned a lot of people onto the instrument.
Train,
Hey Soul Sister. I mean, it's Taylor Swift's been, you know, yeah, she's been using it in her concerts.
Jason Mraz,
Jack Johnson. I mean,
10 years ago, that never would have happened.
Yeah, and you hear it in all these national commercials now. I mean, I was just blown away, like in December when I saw the commercial for the iPad Mini, and they had a girl playing the ukulele, you know, singing "I'll Be Home for Christmas," and I was like, oh my gosh, that's incredible.
The instrument itself is just imbued with like spunk, you know, like mm-hmm. in a way that a bassoon might not be. You know, every instrument's got its own kind of, you know, mm-hmm. mindset. But
yeah,
we've got Jake Shimabukuro in the studio. He's playing tonight at the Arkley. Let's do a few more of these questions from the Redwood Coast Montessori kids, and then we'll do one more tune, and then we'll send you out of here. But thank you again for hanging out.
Thank you.
All right, so lightning round. How long have you been playing ukulele?
Wow, I've been playing. I started when I was four, and So I guess, yeah, 32 years now.
What inspired you to be a musician?
I guess my mom. Yeah, my mom played.
Do you have a band or do you play by yourself? We've answered this. What is your uk made of?
It's made out of koa wood, and it's made by the Kamaka family in Hawaii. They're called Kamaka ukuleles.
Do you have kids?
I do. I have a 5-month-old son.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
This must be tough being out on the road.
It is. It's hard. I mean, before I got married, you know, I would be out on the road all the time, sometimes like 2-3 months at a time. And then after I met my wife, then I would, you know, be gone maybe like a month and a half. And then once we had the baby, now it's like every 10 days I got to go home, you know?
Yeah. Can you play dubstep Michael Jackson on the uke?
Dubstep Michael Jackson?
I don't know.
Well, I know what dubstep is. I've never tried playing that while taking a Michael Jackson tune and
I don't think you have the rig to play dubstep on that. You'd have to have a very expansive pedal board. Your mom inspired you to be a musician, we would say. And I guess the final question here is, do you plan to play forever?
Oh yeah, definitely. I want to be playing until I'm going to keep playing until I can't anymore, until I physically can't.
What can you play for us right now?
Let's see. Well, I guess here's, trying to think of something that I probably won't play tonight at the concert. But here's, Here's another cover. One of my favorites. It's an old Leonard Cohen piece that Jeff Buckley. I mean, the first time I heard the song, it was a Jeff Buckley's Grace record, and Jeff Buckley's one of my favorites, and his rendition of this song I think is just amazing. But we wouldn't have his rendition if Leonard Cohen never wrote it. So this is Hallelujah. And the coolest thing, one of the cool things is on the new record, the woman, the photographer who shot Jeff Buckley, that famous Grace album cover, shot my new album cover. Yep.
That's awesome.
Isn't that crazy?
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Was that a coincidence or by design?
Mary Sir. Yeah, it was just a coincidence.
Wow.
Total coincidence.
So. Bonus.
Yeah, but all right, here's Jeff Buckley's Hallelujah. I should say Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. Thank you.
Oh man, this week can't get any better now. Jake Shimabukuro, dude, it was really nice to meet you. Thank you for coming to K-Hum.
Oh, thank you so much.
If you're back in Humboldt, please come back and see us here and just break all legs tonight at the Arkley.
Thank you.
All right. No leg left unbroken. You'll walk out of there, you're going to have to wade through broken legs.
All right.
You're doing. Larry is up next. You can buy tickets for this at the show, I believe, tonight. You can also get them in advance over at khum.com. Your record is out now, jakeshimabukuro.com. Twitter, Facebook, you're all out there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Find him. Find him. Get in on this and pick up an ukulele and learn to play it and start with the C chord because it's just the one. It's just the one finger.
It's one finger.
This has been a KHUM production. For more information, check out khum.com or search KHUM in iTunes.